So, yeah, am I visible to you?
Hello.
Great, great. So, I'm extremely sorry for the inconvenience, the misunderstanding about the timing and all. Extremely sorry
Yeah,
for
no
that.
problem, man. Like time zones are always a bitch.
Yeah, right. So, let's just start with your introduction and all. I read in your Instagram bio that you are a neuroscience student. So I'm not a kind of a science guy. So I just wanted you to tell me about more about that thing.
So about neuroscience or about just
Yeah,
my,
about neuroscience. I'm very curious to know that.
Well, first of all, I just literally just started. Like I think I've been at
Okay.
it for not even 2 months. So I'm very new. Although I've read a little bit about neuroscience before I got into the program, but
Okay.
neuroscience is a huge field and very, very complicated. But the basic notion is that you want to understand how the brain works, basically,
Right.
because the
Right.
brain produces the mind, or at least that's kind of the assumption behind it, if you're not trying to be too philosophical about the topic. And we've been studying the brain for a very long time, depending how you want to categorize it, for sure over a century. And basically, you just want to understand the mechanisms of it. So the mind can be understood in a psychology manner. So for example, if you present, if I present you a certain stimulus, like how you're going to react. And that gives you a lot of useful information. Like for example, I can see how you react without looking at your brain at all. I can just see how you behave. And I can change the stimulus and see how your behavior changes, for example. But that's a more psychological approach. So neuroscience, you can make a similar investigation, but it allows you to see, like it implies in the name, neuroscience. We're interested in the neuroanatomy. So even though we can know your behavior by recording your behavior, we're also interested in what actually happens in your brain to produce that behavior. So, for example,
Right.
which part of the brain is active doing what? And if you know that, because you know the mechanism behind that behavior, behind a certain outcome, then that gives you more knowledge that can apply to. For example, if you know that that brain area is associated with something else, then you know that those two things are properly related. And then the neuroscience is just basically trying to develop that as much as possible, with a variety of methods.
Right. That's good. That's it. Apart from this, I also read that you are a fitness coach as well. So I just wanted to know how do you manage your time to cover all these things, to read books, review books, and study about your courses as well, and focusing on your health and fitness as well.
That's a good question. It has become a bit challenging lately with a master's degree. But for one, it's just a matter of planning. And like you need to plan, like for example, like I heavily rely on a calendar and on my schedule. And if I didn't have a calendar, I would be so lost. Like my whole life would crumble in like a couple of days. So everything needs to be very structured, but also it's something that you build up to it. So for example, now I'm doing a master's and I read a lot, and I also have my fitness coaching, and I actually also have another job related to fitness. So it's a lot that I kind of have right now, but also I've built up to it like over the years, and so you kind of get used to it. And it's also just a matter of trying to have a balance. Like, just because you're doing, just because you're doing two things, doesn't mean that you have to maximize those two things. And so when you get into these type of situations, it's important to kind of try the bulk of the benefit without spending too much time honing on the details, at which that point you have very heavy diminishing returns. So you want to get the bulk of the benefit without consuming too much of your time. And obviously that has a cost because you don't fully specialize in something, or you don't fully like go in all out, but that allows you to do a variety of things. And that's kind of how I've been approaching it.
That's good. So don't you socialize with your friend, or don't you go out with your friends or something, or you just do your things only?
Well, that certainly also helps me in how I manage all of this, because I've just never been a very social person. Like, I've never been the type of guy to go out on nightclubs or whatever when I was younger. So I don't have an active social life, and that certainly helps. To the degree that I go out, I usually do it with my partner, and we don't usually do it super often. Although that has been in part because of the pandemic lately, but yeah, it's just not a huge part of my life, and it's just, it's just my personality, and that obviously plays a role. Because, for example, if I had a very active social life where I would have the needs to go out and socialize like every other day, then obviously that would, cut my time short even more.
Because people find it very difficult to manage time. This is the more important thing, because some people say that we don't have time to follow a person. I don't have time to read. I just have my job. Apart from that, I don't have spare time to do other things. So this is very good thing. That we just have to focus on the schedule or focus on the thing that really matters. So right.
It's always, man, when you say that you don't have time, that's always a very, very complicated answer, because there's always two sides of it. One is, right, well, you're right, because time is limited, obey laws of physics. So obviously there's a cost to time, but man, unless you're super busy, like, you can almost always make time for something, unless that is an extraordinary amount of time. So, for example, there's no one on earth. Obviously, there'll be some exceptions. I don't want to make this too condescending, but like, almost everyone will have time to do a quick workout. Like I don't care how busy you are, really, unless you're waking up. Like, the only time that you really don't have time to do something is, one, if introducing that will start to affect your sleep. So if you have to sleep less to do it, so at that time, like, you have a pretty good excuse, because sleep is pretty important. And also, if you have no time where you're procrastinating, like if you watch no Netflix, if you don't play any games on your phone, if you don't do anything like that, okay, so if you're in that position, I'll believe you that you don't have time. But that's basically almost no one.
That's a great thing that people will definitely learn a lot about managing time from this thing. So that is great. So how tell me something more about you. Where are you from, what you do, how your day starts with.
About me. So I was born in Portugal, and I lived there for most of my life. And then I met my girlfriend a few years ago, and she's from Slovenia, so I moved over here. And at the time, I was doing philosophy and psychology undergrad. And then I finished that this year, I guess, before summer. And then, like we discussed already, I started my neuroscience master's. And so that's kind of like my educational background. Then my professional backgrounds, which, funny enough, is separate from my education, which is quite unusual, is fitness, like we covered already as well. So I coach people to try to help them lose some weight or get stronger or get more muscular, more or less everything fitness related. I just put a lot of time into fitness, and so I've learned a lot of things, and it's much easier for people to have someone to guide them so that they don't make the same mistakes as I did and as many fitness beginners did. And so that's what I do professionally. And then in terms of hobbies, I mostly read, and that's more or less not a very exciting life, but that's what I got.
What kind of a book you read, what kind of a thing you follow in your life to get you going, what is your motivation to get yourself going?
You mean in general or specific to books?
In general, life in a career perspective.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a loaded question. I'll say what gets me going.
Is there any particular motivation that you want to achieve something, or you just want to reach there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have a very specific end goal, but something that I've always been attracted to once I was like a late teenager was to try to just understand the world better, and kind of by a byproduct that also includes how to understand myself better and also how to understand human beings better.
Right.
And to me, that's just such a big drive, and I guess that depends a bit on your personality, but to me it's almost weird how other people aren't obsessed by it. It's like, how would you not want to understand the world, and how would you not want to understand yourself better? I mean, to each to its own, but that's just something that I've always been attracted to, at least kind of like in this more later phase of my life. And then another motivation, which kind of, in some sense, it's parallel with the previous one I covered, but in some ways it also differs. And this has been, I'd say, a bigger factor the older I get, which is just becoming wiser and knowing how you should live your life and what it means to live a good life. And in some ways that's different from knowledge, because knowledge doesn't necessarily translate to wisdom. But at the same time, if you know the world better and if you know yourself better, then that's a decent start to living a life with more wisdom.
So what kind of a book you read? What kind of things you read?
So what I read... Man, the simple answer is that my main interests are psychology and philosophy. So the short answer is philosophy and psychology, because that's what I'm interested in. That's what I majored in. But it's a bit more complicated than that, because that's just what I'm reading right now. But I don't necessarily think that's all you should read. And that's certainly not all that I read, and particularly not all that I plan to read in the future. So kind of how I categorize my reading is that I tried to make a plan for my life so that I would cover different fields at different periods of my life. And this was because, like, when I was talking about this drive that I have about knowing the world better, kind of when this started to become more intense, kind of like in teenagehood, something that I realized is that, like, how could you possibly start this path of knowledge? Because it's just overwhelming. Like, you need to know a lot. Like, where do you start and how is that even possible? And so the way I tried to solve that problem was, okay, I can't know everything on the universe, because, you know, my time is limited, my effort is limited, my like everything is limited. And so the solution I tried to come up with is, okay, I can't know everything, but maybe I can know the most important things. And then I tried to kind of categorize the most important fields that I think are worth studying. And what I ended up deciding was philosophy, psychology, art, science, religion, and I think that's about all of it. And so, and then I kind of tried to make a plan of, you know, studying one for a while, let's say like 1 or 2 years, and then moving to the other, and then moving to the other. And so now I'm still kind of stuck, let's say, in the philosophy, you know, periods, but eventually I will transition to the other fields. And so, like, it's not like those periods are like very strict, like, even though I read mostly philosophy, doesn't mean that I don't read anything else. I do, I just try to bias it, but yeah, that's what I read the most right now, but within a wider context of like a bigger plan of reading.
So can we just some most interesting thing about human psychology that would people would love to know? Is there any interesting thing?
I would say I'm not so sure about. For me, it's very interesting, but more than interesting, I would say important to know. And like the most important thing you should know about humans that you will quickly learn in psychology is that we're very, very flawed in our cognition. Like you're very, very stupid, like a lot more than you realize. And it's not specific to you. It's just human beings are built that way. And I can't possibly overstate how important knowing that is. Like it's, to me, it's the foundation of your life. Like you need to know that you're really, really stupid and you're going to misframe things. You're going to misunderstand things. The conclusions that you draw are almost always going to be incorrect. And that's one of the things that kind of mostly drew me to psychology. It's like the realization that the way I capture reality is inherently flawed. So like, why would you not want to try to fix that? And it's not completely fixable by any means, but you know, we can kind of budget little by little. But I would say that's to me, that's the most interesting. And to other people, I would say that's definitely the most important.
Right. It means that what we think is not true, what we say is not the perfect thing that we can say. So everything, right. That is great. Great to know that. No one is perfect. Yeah. No one is right. Right.
Exactly.
Great. So tell me something more about your psychology thing, because I'm very interested to know about this more.
Something else about psychology. Well, it kind of depends how deep you want to get to it. But
I'm a business guy. Do you have any particular thing for what customers think, what other businesses think about the competitors or the other things like this?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
Actually, I'm saying that I'm a business guy, so I do most of the time business and all this things. I read business stuff and all. So do you have any thing that would be helpful to attract more customers to engage most customers, using the human psychology to attract most customers and all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I got it. Well, I'll say it depends a little bit on your context of like how far you are into your business, how big it is and stuff like that. But if you want to put business in a similar kind of category as self-help, which I think it's often the case, I'd say a really useful thing to know is kind of what I mentioned in the beginning as well, related to my own organization of time and progressing and stuff like that, which is small, consistent progress over time. I think that's really important for productivity, for self-improvement, and that will reflect in business for sure. I mean, I'm certainly not an expert in business. But you know, from what I've seen about the business community, at least online, it's very often integrated with the self-help community, and the ability to improve yourself and make good habits, like that's not something that can be overestimated, because it completely turned my life around. Like I was a complete loser when I was young. I mean, I'm still a loser, of course, but I'm less of a loser, I guess. So, just building small habits, like one at a time. And this is not like, you know, sometimes self-help can be a little bit empty, but this is fairly standard psychology, especially in therapy. It's like you help people to get a bit better. You kind of structure their habits a little bit. You give them direction. You kind of break down big goals into small goals so that they know what to do and it's not too overwhelming. And that can that can be a direct transfer to business. It's like, how the fuck do you build, you know, an international, you know, multi-million dollar business? Well, that's incredibly overwhelming. But like, if you break it down, okay, maybe you don't have to be international at first. Maybe just start in your city. And then, you know, what do you need? How does the business need to be run? And then you kind of make subcomponents, and then you try to, you know, kind of work towards it with a small goal at the time.
Right. So I heard this thing that is subconscious mind. Do you really believe in this subconscious mind and thinking power of attraction, power of thinking positive things, influencing your subconscious mind, thinking good things to order to happen good things? So do you really believe in subconscious mind and all these things? Because I read a lot of book about subconscious mind. Like I just have right now is Secret. It says all about the subconscious mind. So do you believe in these things? Do you really have something?
Okay, so first of all, from what I got, you mentioned two main things, and they're a bit different, even though one kind of relies on the other. But in terms of, let's tackle subconscious, the subconscious in general first. So the subconscious, it kind of depends what you mean. So a lot of people, when they mention, when someone mentions the subconscious, they tend to think of Freud, and they tend to think of like this highly dynamic, personal, kind of cognition slash personality that is beyond your awareness, and it's kind of controlling certain aspects of your mind. And to that degree, I certainly believe that, and I've been very influenced by Carl Jung, which is in a similar spirit to this, to Freud, except with slightly different views. But this is like the typical psychoanalysis, and in that case, it's not super scientific, because, and it's not too much because it's wrong in a scientific sense, but more so because it's very difficult to test. And that's kind of what usually people define as scientific or unscientific. So in that case, the subconscious, I believe that it certainly exists and it's certainly relevant. But it's, you know, it's not something that you prove very easily. Now, there's another kind of definition of subconscious, which is you can kind of classify it as very broadly, which is just something that is influencing you inside your head, but you're not aware of it. And in that case, you can't say that you don't believe it because it has been proven by psychology. And a very good example of that is priming. And priming is a psychological event, let's say, which is you have a certain stimulus, and that stimulus affects you without you knowing that is affecting you. So for example, a quick example of this is, let's say that you go into a room and you fill a questionnaire about politics. So you're gonna have, you know, certain views, wherever your political views happen to be. But if you go into that same room, and let's say that in that room, there's a lot of cleaning products, and like you have this kind of, it gives you the idea of cleaning in general. So when you're in that room doing that political questionnaire, you're more likely to score conservative, because conservative political thinking has some association with things that are orderly and things that are defined and clean and very, you know, straight to the point and without too much chaos. And that's priming, because the person that went to do the questionnaire and with a cleaning product, they will score more conservatively, but they don't know that. And if you ask them, you know, if anything influenced them, they will say no. They might not even think that the cleaning products on the room were relevant at all. And so studies like this are absolute proof that priming exists, and therefore that you have subconscious processes that affect your cognition in a pretty relevant way. Now, in terms of positive thinking, That's a bit more complicated. So if you mean it in a way that, you know, if you try to think positively, that, you know, positive things will happen to you, there are several ways that this can be interpreted. One way can be a very metaphysical way, kind of like karma, that somehow your thinking kind of manifests in the world. Unless you believe in magic, that's basically impossible. Now, what usually happens is reality isn't outside of you per se, because you experience reality. And so, right. So reality always has yourself in it per se. And so kind of what the positive thinking type ideas try to show, even if they don't quite put it in those terms, is that, okay, so it's not like objective reality changes per se, but how you act in the world will ultimately bring you a different outcome, hopefully positive, if you think a certain way. And that's pretty reasonable, because so let's say that if you you're having a bad day and you're just trying to think positively, you know, you're kind of trying to fight your own bad disposition. Mm-hmm. And then if you have an interaction with your partner or someone in your family, if your approach to the interaction is positive, then you're more likely to get a positive interaction in return. Right. And that's obviously then going to make you feel better. And that outcome was originated because you thought positively in the first place.
Right.
So in cases like this, it certainly applies. Like if you want to make like more, you know, supernatural claims that it affects the real world, then that's obviously harder to do. But there's definitely, you know, a lot to the idea, as long as you don't overstretch it.
So does the bad thoughts effect has the same effect as the good thought?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it applies exactly in the same way, just in reverse. And it's something. There's something called self-fulfilling prophecy. And this is actually like a standard, not sure how to call it, standard mechanism, I guess, in psychology that you can find in most textbooks. And it basically just means that if you think something will be the case, and this can be positive or negative, then just the fact that you think it's the case might be the case. So for example, I have exams coming up for my neuroscience master's. Let's say that I think that I'll fail, and that's making me really stressed out, and that's making me so obsessed that I can't even study properly. Then that will make me not study well, and then that will make me fail. So that's an example of, you know, how this type of stuff can work in a negative manner.
Right. That's a great example. I really like it. So do you have something to do you want to write a book on this, or do you want to read the paper on this, so that people can know more about this thing? Because I read a lot of book about subconscious mind and all these things, but after talking to you, I learned a basic thing that is very, very important for me. I learned a lot of things about subconscious mind from this movie. So this is very good. It's very good. So do you have any planning of writing your own book or releasing your own paper about this human psychology thing?
So you mean recommendations of books and papers?
Right. Uh-huh. No, I'm saying do you have any plan to write your own book about human psychology?
Oh, my own.
Right.
Huh. Well, I've been sort of writing a philosophy book for a number of years now, but that's a bit of a secret, so I can't say much about it. But in terms of psychology, no, not really, because there's not much that I can add to it. Like, even though obviously for someone that never studied psychology, it seems that I know a lot, but I don't really. I'm just an average, you know, psychology enthusiast / student. And so there's really not much that I can write that someone else hasn't written it already. Like if you like I think psychology can be very useful, and I think most people should learn it, but like what you should learn is already in almost every standard psychology introduction. So in my context, it'd kind of be pointless to write anything about it, at least if the goal was trying to offer something new.
Right. I heard this thing that if you want to achieve something, you have to create your own world in your mind. You have to think about that thing 24/7. So do you think about the things that you do 24/7, or you just think about the things that you want to do while doing the things?
On one hand, there's a benefit of having it on your mind. Like, for example, when you obsess over something, even when you have anxiety about something, for example, there's a reason why that happens. For example, our bodies don't just like have this obsessive anxiety thoughts for nothing. Like that was created evolutionarily, because if you have something on your mind, then you'll be more primed to it. You'll think more about it. You will kind of create more different outcomes of how this situation might play out, different obstacles that you might arise. So the more you think about it, kind of the more prepared you are to face it, at least assuming that this is working somewhat properly and it doesn't get dysfunctional like in an anxiety disorder, for example. So there's definitely a benefit of obsessing about stuff and kind of having it in your mind all the time. But that needs to be in a functional manner, and it's very easy to get dysfunctional. So obsession can be useful, but I think it's also dangerous. I think for most people, I think it would be more useful to not obsess something about it every day and try to break it down and just have something like a simple task that you can do right now. And you don't even have to think about it all the time. So for example, if you have goal A, and to achieve goal A, you need sub goal B. And to do sub goal B, you need to dedicate, you know, 2 hours of your time tomorrow. Like, you can just think about it when you start the task tomorrow. Like, you don't have to think about it today until you go to bed on every single second.
Right. So according to you, what is the difference between just thinking and overthinking?
Thinking and working.
Thinking and overthinking, actually. Sometimes it happens with me as well. Sometimes when I was actually I'm kind of a guy, I don't like socializing with people, I don't like parties and all. But what I do all the time is, when I am not doing my work, I'm still doing it in my mind. So sometimes it becomes like it converts in overthinking, and it gives me a lot of anxiety. So do you have any suggestions for that, so that we can just think, not overthink that particular thing?
Well, first of all, I need to kind of, I don't know, make a warning that I'm certainly not a clinical psychologist or anything like that. So my advice should be taken with a grain of salt. Like, it's more of like a friend advice rather than actual, actual professional knowledge about it. But, well, I kind of suffered that with fitness in the beginning when I was younger. Like, I was very obsessed about it. And when I wasn't doing it, all that I thought was things related to it. And I think something that helps, and that certainly helped me, is to have just more stuff going on in your life. So, like, your life is based around friends, family, you know, your partner, your hobbies. And that kind of gives richness and variety to your life. And that, I think, that helps not to be obsessed about something. And that also helps in order for you not to be crushed if something goes wrong. So for example, if all that you care in your life is your business, and then your business goes wrong, which it might, like, even if you're doing everything right, you might just be unlucky and your business fails for a reason, then you'll just be completely crushed and destroyed. But if business is just 1/4 of your life, and you still have a loving girlfriend, and you still have friends, and you still have hobbies that you like, then you know, it's not such a depressing apocalyptic event. So I think kind of diversifying your life helps. And then beyond that, I would say just general relaxing activities and trying to directly work against your obsession, you know, and kind of, you know, journaling may help, meditation may help, you know, fairly standard practices of just winding down, relaxing, not obsessing over it. And yeah, I'll say that's kind of the two things that I would focus on.
And I'm not, I learned a lot of things from you now. So this is a good thing. I'll be in touch with you for my life so that we can, I can learn a lot of things from you in the future. So how your life changed after a certain period of time? As you said that you were not a good student, you were not a good person, but you have changed yourself. So what it takes to change yourself, what it takes the one thing or many things to change yourself from a guy to a particular guy?
I'll say it depends a little bit on the situation, but I'll say in my situation and for a lot of people, kind of what kickstarts everything is funny enough, a bit related to kind of the positive thinking that we were talking about, which is, if you're in a really bad place, I think the most important thing that can kickstart you getting out of it is just having hope. Because if you have hope, then you can work towards it, towards walking towards a better place.
Right.
But kind of the problem if you're on the rock bottom is precisely that you don't have hope. Like that's literally one of the criteria for diagnosing depression, for example, is that people feel hopelessness.
Right.
And so obviously if you feel that you can't get out of the place that you're in, then you won't, because you won't do anything about it and you'll just kind of self-pity yourself forever. And it's a really tough battle to fight. But in my case, I did manage to have some hope. And I kind of managed to have this drive of I'm going to kind of change my life and I'm going to improve myself. And then it was exactly also what we talked about. It's like step by step, like not trying to make a radical transformation overnight, because that just doesn't work. But I know for sure that I can be, you know, 1% better than what I was last week or last month. And that's good enough, because that gets the ball rolling.
Right.
And then, you know, the ball just keeps rolling and eventually kind of my life changed a fair bit. And hope is kind of the kickstarter.
Right. Process is very important. Focusing on the process is very important. Right. So just give us a free piece of advice that you want to give to the people out there. If you see a particular group of people, if you want to give advice to them, what would be the best advice you can give to the people who are in your age or in your field or something?
Give advice to people who are in what condition?
Right. What kind of advice do you give to the people who are in safe age as you are, in a safe field as you are, in a same country as you are, and same situation as you are?
So in the same conditions that I am.
Right.
I'm not sure, because that actually makes the giving of advice tougher, because I'm more similar to those people.
Right.
And also I'm not exactly sure how.
Let's make it simple. What would you advise yourself 5 years ago or 5 years from this day?
Did you say book?
No. I said that what kind of advice you would give
to advice
your earlier five years of yourself and your future 5 years of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, to 5 years ago, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what stage of my life I was going to be, but I'm going to try not to obsess too much about the specific date. But if I was going to give advice to my past self, it would be exactly what I talked about of just focusing on progressing and on being better, and especially not try to not try to be too much in your own head. I think that's very judgmental and very hard to do. And I think focusing on progressing and not being so obsessed within your own mind, I think that helps a lot. So that's definitely my advice for the past. For the future, that's a very hard question because I don't know how the future will be. But if I want to like make a very general safe advice, would be to always have hope that things can improve. Because if you're in that position, then at least the possibility is open so that your life can get better. So no matter what situation you're in, if you lose that, then you're fucked. You're gonna go to a very bad place.
So do you have any guilt that you should have done this, or you should have done that so that your life would be more better? Do you have any guilt?
Well, that's very personal, and because I'm such a flawed human being like everyone else, that would be a very long list. But I would say something that kind of haunts me always, especially as I get older, is how, and I think it's pretty common. Like I think most people, when they get older, especially like your grandparents and stuff like that, they'll probably say something similar, is that I wasn't sufficiently appreciative of the position that I was in when I was younger. Like I didn't understand how privileged and how lucky I was to have the life that I had and kind of the support that I had. And then I just think I didn't show my appreciation for it, but both in terms of for people, but also I just wasn't grateful for my life, and that's something that kind of haunts me to this day. And there's nothing that I can do now. And the only thing that I kind of can try to take out of it is to not commit the same mistake now, even though it's very hard. So I try to kind of always remind myself of how grateful I am in the condition that I am now, and to not be ungrateful for it. But it's always very, very hard because you always have the tendency to kind of just take things for granted, you know?
And so how do you want your life in future? How do you want yourself to be, or how do you want how you see yourself in the future? What are your desires?
Well, academically, I kind of have no idea. In terms of like more general intellectual path, I just want to keep reading as I'm doing now, understand the world better, understand myself better. Basically, everything that I'm doing now, except just, you know, progressing forward compared to what I am now. In terms of more personal goals, it's I just wish to be a better person, just a better friends, better partner. Better everything. I think that's always the goal. I think that should be everyone's goal.
So, do you, if you want to give me advice, what could be that? It's been 45 minutes around we are talking. So, I think you have observed what kind of guy I am. So, do you have any advice for me?
Man, I'm not super comfortable giving advice to you because I don't feel like I'm in such a position to give advice. That's like I don't wanna, I don't know. I think that kind of makes it a differential of kind of like some superior place to another. And I don't wanna be in that position. And also I don't know you very well, so it's hard to give advice. But I can give you advice in the humble sense of stuff that has really helped me before. And And that would be general advice that I would give to everyone. And that would just be what I already mentioned several times. Just like keep moving forward step by step. Don't try to be gluttonous and try to take too much at once. But as long as you keep going forward, as long as you're improving, your life will be better. And that's what matters.
Right. So let's just make it quick. Do you want to add something to this, this whole episode? Do you want yourself to just to say?
Not really, but since you kind of messaged me on Instagram on my page where I talk a lot about books, I guess I can just encourage people to read and learn, especially philosophy and psychology. Like it's not as intimidating as you think. Like just start with more basic books. Like there's books that are literally introductions exactly for people that never read these types of books. So like read an introduction to psychology, read an introduction to philosophy. And I think people will find it useful and interesting.
When I first visited your website, I thought about talking to you about the books and all. But just after hearing the psychology things, it draws my attention. I just start liking this thing and all. So I just forgot all my questions and just kept coming from your answers only. So this subject really interesting. I would love to read about psychology and all the things. So this is very good. I really love this thing, and I really appreciate that you came here to tell our people, to share people what the things are in psychology. So that is great. Thank you so much for that.
Awesome. It's my pleasure, and I really appreciate it.
I'll be in touch with you for a few more time for to learn more about psychology and all the things. I'll make sure not to disturb you of the time. Just send you the thing that I just wanted to ask you. Great. That is great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. Take care.